Barnaby Joyce is a former Nationals leader, a former Deputy PM, and now current One Nation MP for New England. Barnaby Joyce, welcome back to Breakfast.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
One Nation has pulled ahead of Labor in a third major opinion poll published yesterday. Is the hype around the party's rise getting carried away, or do you think that One Nation is now a party of government in waiting?
Well, the first thing is don't get carried away. I'm very aware of hubris, and that is we will concentrate on the here and now. We will concentrate on the policy of now. The election is still some way away, and polls are indicators, not votes. So that would sound sort of a bit sanguine, maybe, coming from me. but it's really... The issues that are before people is that are what are changing the polls. It's the concern the Australian people have about a nation that has so much potential: oil, gas, coal, iron ore, and per capita we've been getting poorer, and that is just the reality. And listening to Minister Molino, that's all fine and dandy what he said, but it's well into their second term of government, and it's been going backwards against them. And their latest budget was an absolute car crash. What it's done is it's taken a sledgehammer to opportunity, to entrepreneurship. We have to work the Australian balance sheet in such a form that we make our assets produce more, and that is how you are going to bring in the revenue to cover, you know, any measures you wish to bring forward. But the Labor Party have failed to do that. They've certainly been able to spend the money. They just haven't been able to earn the money. And now in panic stations, they've gone out and found people who have been prudent, put money aside, rather than spending it on trifles and going on holidays. They actually put money aside to build capital assets and said, because you're prudent, we're going to take half your money off you. And that has NBC... Well, 47% is your top marginal tax rate, and if you're paying,
but that doesn't apply in these cases, does it?
If once you have your, you know, the minimum you pay on your capital gains tax, through their words, is 30%, and 30%, that's the minimum though. So the highest tax rate is going to be 47%. So 47%, including the Medicare levy. So that's that means that. Uncle Jim takes and Mr. Molino take half your money, shy of maybe 3%. So that is not going to inspire people to take the risk.
Even some of the people who launched the 47% Anthony Albanese social media campaigns considered that 47 is not accurate, is it?
But for people who start, and you have small business provisions for some, but that's not small business provisions. That's not capital gains tax provisions for all. And so we are, so if you manage to get a turnover in excess of, if you are talking of a turnover that's in the millions, and for an accountancy practice, I think it's $2 million, it sounds a lot, but it's not a lot actually, because your costs have got to come out of that. And after your costs come out of that, it's a regular sort of business.
But even social media influencers know that 47 figure's not right, is it?
But it is right if your net assets are over $6 million and your turnover's over two. So it is right. So that's the issue. And this is what, unless Mr. Molino wants to come back on the program and say that it's extended beyond the small business rollovers. If he does, that'll be a very interesting day for him, Mr. Chalmers.
The website of Fire the Liar fundraising campaign suggests that almost $4 million has been raised as of this morning. What does that money go towards? Where's it going?
Well, it's going to go towards precisely what it's said about. It's the removal of the Labor Party, because they have not. Been good for Australia. Our per capita wealth has gone down. We have people who are poor who have gone into poverty. We have an electricity price that's going through the roof, yet they tell us this sort of mythical belief of some sort of Wizard of Oz land where they say it's somehow going down.
So how will it be used for advertising? Is it formal electoral funding?
Well, these are the issues that will be addressed, and of course, the whole premise of it is that Mr. Albanese and others went into an election saying one thing, absolutely categorically stating there wouldn't be no changes to negative gearing and no changes to capital gains tax, and that was not the truth. It was just not the truth.
So I understand that argument. I'm trying to understand how you used the money to prosecute that argument. And when they decided to change,
they just looked blank-faced at people as if there was nothing surprising about that. And even for people who are not, who said, well, maybe that doesn't affect me, they said, you can't have a Prime Minister of Australia who just says something that's just completely and utterly false and knows it. And so that, you know, if you don't tell the truth, you're going to be treated as such. And that is what's happening here. Otherwise, the Australian people would not have donated $4 million.
So just to return to the question, how will that money be used to prosecute the argument that you've outlined for me?
Well, it's to do as precisely what it is. It'll be an advertising campaign to basically get rid of the Labor government.
Would you like
to see... It can't be clearer than that. That's exactly what it said when you but he's basically donated to it.
Would you like to see a national preference deal between the coalition parties and One Nation, or even some sort of seat carve-up as was proposed by Liberal Tony Passan last week?
Well, you know, I'll leave that to the people on the pay rate to deal with it. What I might suggest is it would be a little bit odd for the One Nation supporters in an area to not have a One Nation candidate. That is, they will have a One Nation candidate. Preference deals happen between all parties, but preference deals do not promote a coalition. It just suggests how, you know, the issues are going to... We can't possibly put the Greens ahead of the coalition. And at Farah, as an indicator, we put the National Party second. That is, if we didn't win, we'd like the National Party to win, and we put the Liberal Party third. So that if we didn't win and the Nationals didn't win, we wanted the Liberal Party to win. Now, the Nationals put us fifth and the Liberals put us seventh. So, you know, we'll stand by our records of sort of philosophically aligning ourselves with those we believe have a similar philosophy to us. However, we do not believe in having a climate change department or climate policy, because we believe the cost of that has been massive to the people most vulnerable and has deindustrialised Australia, making our whole nation weaker. And that issue has got to come to a conclusion, because we have not changed the weather, we have made people poorer, and we have deindustrialised Australia. That's a very bad outcome.
Just finally, One Nation's been around for around 30 years. Is there a succession plan within the party? And is a likely next leader you, or possibly Pauline Hanson's daughter? How would that sit with you?
I would never, ever fall into the trap of talking about prospective positions in the future. I would fully concentrate on exactly what we're doing now. Once more, I know the trick of hubris. I know it very, very well, and I'm not going to fall into it.
Barnaby Joyce, we'll need to leave it there. Thank you for your time this morning.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.